Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing Drama with Dana Wilkie Uncensored. We have officially moved to Patreon. Here's a sneak peek of Dishing Drama with Dana Wilkie.
Come on, bitch, let's go.
Hi, you guys. Well, I mean, how can I not cover P. Diddy and do a deep dive and look into why the feds raided his Miami and Los Angeles home? Not his New York home, though. That was kind of strange to me. But today I'm going to take you through all of the sort of deep dive items that you're probably seeing pop up in different places on social media and the news and in legal complaints here and there. So there's quite a lot to talk about with Diddy, and I thought I would dedicate a whole show to him. And I think now is the time because we all are curious as to what triggered this, you know, finally, right? Based on all the allegations, these raids. Now, one thing I can tell you is that, as you guys know, I had gone to a few of P. Diddy's white parties in the Hamptons in my youth. And so I have experienced what it's like to go to one of his larger parties with lots of celebrities there. But it seems like there's another side to Diddy, Puffy, P. Diddy, and that is that he has these inner circles of music producers and girlfriends and guys that he does drugs with, etc. That is sort of, I want to call it, for the purposes of the podcast today, I'll call it his inner circle. And that's where all this really bad debauchery and abuse and stuff happens. And it's very different than the glamorous, luxurious, you know, celebrity parties that he hosts. So I want to say that because my experience with P. Diddy personally was that when I went to his white parties, they were really elegant affairs. Everyone was really good looking. There was no open drug taking. There was just drinking and hanging out. They were mostly held outside in his backyard. And there were tons of celebrities there, but no one was being taped because we were in the backyard unless it was like a security system. So, I mean, you know, I certainly never got a call from P. Diddy trying to blackmail me. But that's not to say that what these people like Cassie Ventura have experienced and, of course, recently Rodney Jones experienced didn't happen because they were at a different level with him. Now, there's a lot of people who have been in this inner circle that have complained about Diddy, and 50 Cent seems to know things and from the way he's posting. And I'm going to play you some receipts today that'll be other people have commented on this before. So let's get into this giant rabbit hole. Obviously, I'm going to do the juiciest stuff or the most difficult to know stuff because that's what I do on my shows. Okay, so let's get started and let's start in the most obvious place because I've already covered extensively Cassandra Ventura's allegations made to Diddy in her civil case. And I now want to move on to starting with Rodney Jones' allegations. But before we do, let me just remind you of where Diddy allegedly got groomed into being the sort of monster that he's become. Well, it happened allegedly because of Clive Davis. So Clive Davis came out in the 1970s as bisexual, and he was supposedly doing a lot of relationships with men that were give and take. And Jimmy Iovine, who, by the way, a girlfriend that I knew back in LA married Liberty Ross in 2016. He started Beats with Dr. Dre. Jimmy said to Suge Knight that he believed that Clive Davis was in a relationship with P. Diddy, which would explain how come P. Diddy went up the ranks so quickly in the music business where other people failed. So I'm going to try to do Suge justice here. Suge said on the podcast about this, "I'm here because Clive Davis told me that him and Puffy's real tight and, you know, lovers. So I thought he was talking like they got love for each other. I'm like, I," he said, "nah, they are lovers."
Aww.
So Jimmy said, "No, they're lovers." And then Suge said, and I'm like, "Why do you keep saying that? Are they lovers like fucking and sucking?" And Jimmy says, "I don't want to say that." And then Suge's like, but that's what that means, right? And then, you know, he kind of like lets it end. But the idea here is that Clive and him are lovers. And this is not the first time that we've heard Clive in relationships with people that it helped their career. Let's just say that, or their lifestyle significantly. As a sidebar, I just saw Liberty with Jimmy in England enjoying themselves and taking pap pictures and having so much fun. And I'm so happy for her because her first husband was a total douche and cheated on her. She had two children with him, and it was devastating. I actually was friendly with her at the time that that all went down. And then she met Jimmy, and even though he's much older, he, like, swept her off her feet, and she's been married to him ever since. They had this, like, crazy black wedding, everybody dressed in black, and it was 2016. Nice to be married to a billionaire. She got her happy ending. She looks really happy. She's like laughing at his jokes and everything. Now, the night before the Grammys, Clive Davis always has a pre-Grammy party. And this has been famous for, you know, since the 70s. It was as famous as the Playboy parties. I did have some girlfriends that went. They were friends with musical people. I never went to that party, so I can't comment on Clive Davis's parties. But I heard they were really fun. And I know Clive did a lot of business at them. They were really important for business dealings. And potentially this is where P. Diddy learned to do these extravagant events to help him with his connections, right? And to put him on the map in a way that was bigger, let's say, than other people in the same space. Parties got you clout, period. And the bigger and more exclusive the party, the more powerful you were. So I'm not sure if Diddy was groomed by Clive Davis, as people allege, or if they were in a truly loving relationship like Suge stated, and it was, you know, really a mentorship that they also had a sexual relationship, or what, if it maybe never happened. But certainly that is the groundwork of what eventually makes P. Diddy P. Diddy. And now I want to go to the highlights of the Rodney Jones lawsuit, which I'm sure you've already read a little bit about and this and that, but I really want to tell you the highlights, okay? Because it's really important to the receipts that I'm going to tie into some of the claims. So you can get a cohesive picture of the ecosystem, which is this mess of celebrities and people and girlfriends and baby mamas and everybody all incestuously together being abused and working for each other. And it's just really all interrelated. So that's why I want to do it this way. The case was filed on February 26, 2024 by lawyer Tyrone Blackburn on behalf of Rodney Jones, aka Little Rod. And I do think it's important to note that this was a Southern District of New York complaint, and it was a civil action for jury demand. But it was coming out of Southern District of New York, and allegedly the raids that happened was coming out of the prosecutor's office of Southern District of New York. And so perhaps this is one of the triggers, but there's quite a few things that have come out of New York, so keep an open mind. It's not a slam dunk that this is it. It could also be stemming from some other cases that I know are in New York. Now, remember, Little Rod, about a month ago, before this complaint came out, did a video on social media where he talked about having no choice but to sue Diddy. So listen to this.
You still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to get them on there. Yeah.
Look,
we all artists, man. We go, you feel me? We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kai, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right
play
now.
With this shit.
I gonna lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
I'm a music producer who's a writer and musician. A year I'm straight working on this The Love album by Diddy. It's Grammy nominated right now as we speak. I should be celebrating, but the truth is I'm not. taking this album on has required so much time, months at a time, 16 hours, 24 hours a day. Diddy would request certain works to be done and tell us don't go to sleep until it's done. And the truth is, we'll be up for days trying to accomplish that. I've tried to get my business straight with them on this album, but the truth is they're not playing fair. They hit me below the belt on so many situations dealing with this. And the offer that they gave me was just disgusting. The producer fee, pennies, was trying to steal my publishing. I can't go for that. So I'm fighting back. He's a fighter. I got to do it for myself, my rights, and most importantly, my kids. Taking my publishing or stealing it, I'm not going to let that happen. I mean, I miss holidays with my family. Just to be offered little to no participation in this is highly disrespectful. I won't be that guy looking back saying, I wish I'd done this. I'm going to do this now. Taking Puff to court, suing him is not easy. I don't have the monies that it's going to take to fight him in court. So I'm just asking support, please. The link is in my bio to my GoFundMe.
So as you're looking at Little Rod's complaint, you really enjoy that he actually implements evidence as you're reading it and as you go. And some is better than others that he provides, but it makes for a more enjoyable reading of a complaint. So I appreciate the effort that him and his attorney did in illustrating the complaint. It was one of the better ones I've read. So he helped produce the Love album Off the Grid, which was one of Puff Daddy's albums, I guess, that he was working on back in 2022. And this guy did a ton of work on it. And they were trying to screw him. So he decides to spill the tea, and he does it in this document. And so what he has in here under number 27 is one of the key things that would obviously interest the Southern District of New York Prosecution Office. It says, Mr. Combs required Mr. Jones, that's of course Little Rod's real name, as I mentioned earlier, to record him constantly. On several occasions, Mr. Combs took Mr. Jones' cell phone and began recording himself. As a result, Mr. Jones has secured hundreds of hours of footage and audio recordings of Mr. Combs, his staff, and his guests engaging in serious illegal activity. Allegedly, Mr. Jones has irrefutable evidence of the acquisition, use, and distribution of ecstasy, cocaine, GHB, ketamine, marijuana, and mushrooms, the displaying and distribution of unregistered illegal firearms, Mr. Combs providing laced alcoholic beverages to minors and sex workers at his home in California, New York, and the U.S. Virgin Islands in Florida. Mr. Combs' chief of staff, Christina Corum, KK, instructing her staff to retrieve drugs so she can provide it to Mr. Combs for his consumption. Christian Combs drugging and sexually assaulting a woman. Mr. Combs detailing how he planned to leverage his relationship with Bishop T.D. Jake to soften the impact on his public image of Cassie Ventura's lawsuit.
I deal with murderers. I deal with rapists and killers. Because they're our children, our sons, and our daughters. Hallelujah. I never have to justify stupid law.
Young Miami's cousin and or assistant sexually assaulting Mr. Jones. Rapper Blank on Mr. Combs' yacht consorting with underage girls, sex workers. R&B singer Blank in Mr. Combs' Los Angeles home consorting with underage girls and sex workers. I mean, sounds like he's got a lot of evidence. Potentially he provided it to the prosecution, and that is the grounds that they're raiding Diddy's home to see if there's any more content they can find. If you look to the TMZ coverage video of the post aftermath of the raid, you see P. Diddy's bathroom drawers are pulled out, his personal items are laid in heaps on the floor and in the bedroom, and they've literally gone through everything. Most of the television sets and electronics, the brain systems for the entire house have been removed. Obviously, they're going to go back and see if they can find surveillance footage of different rooms in the house and things that may have occurred in the properties to show that Sean Combs, P. Diddy, is up to no good in his house. They may find imagery of prostitutes, or they may find imagery of underage girls they can establish that did sexual acts with him or his family or colleagues, and therefore they'll have tons of indictments they'll be able to choose from to come after him, even drugs. But perhaps the most important thing that they seized and opened and violated and took was the safes. Because think about it, if you have footage that you're using to blackmail someone, or that you don't want just anyone to see, but you want to, you know, keep for your personal, whatever, weird thing that you do, kind of like a serial killer keeping objects of his victims, right? You would leave it in your safe.
Rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
It's your real precious, you will get the hose.
So I'm sure that they spent a lot of time making sure they could access the safe's contents. And I bet you there were some really interesting things in there. Now, one thing I noticed when I was reviewing the TMZ video of all of the discombobulated stuff everywhere, they leave a lot of stuff. Like if you go and look at the safe in particular, there's tons of documents still left. There's like jewelry boxes in there and keys and things like that, right? So that tells me they were looking for something very specific. They weren't just looking for everything. They were looking for a certain thing or certain things. And they thought it might be in the safe, because otherwise they would have taken everything in the safe and they didn't. As you watch the footage, the feeling you get is they are looking in places they think he would be hiding something. You know, maybe the mattress of the bed, drawers next to the bedside table, bathroom drawers, cabinets. I mean, it looks like to me cell phones they may be looking for, videotapes or computer hard drive systems, security tape footage or security systems. Definitely the brain of the houses, if they, you know, those, you know, these mansions have these rooms that are full of different mechanical things that control all aspects of the house, people coming and going, cameras and things like that. Now, there are some safes that seem to be in the kind of more work areas of his house that are empty. So either they had nothing in it or they took it. Wow, he has a lot of shoes. That's something else I noticed. Aww. So little Rod alleges that Sean Combs and Justin Combs, his son, and a friend of Justin's named G were at this camp at Chalice Recording Studios at 845 Highland Avenue, LA. This was on September 12, 2022. And there becomes a heated argument between P. Diddy and G. And he doesn't witness it, but the next thing he knows, G is in front of the studio, which he's in the studio when he hears these gunshots ring out. He runs outside into the hallway and G's on the floor and he's been shot in two places and he's bleeding. So he panics, little Rod, and helps stop the bleeding in the man in the two locations on the body, G, and helps everybody call an ambulance. And then he says that he was instructed to lie about it and say how it went down was that it was a drive-by shooting, but it wasn't. And it was actually Diddy, or maybe even his son, who knows, because he didn't see it, who did this shooting. Then shows the receipts. He shows a screenshot of an article that says, "Man shot outside party at Hollywood Recording Studio." And it says, "Officers were called to the 800 block of North Highland Avenue at Willoughby to check into reports of a shooting at about 3 a.m. According to the LAPD, at the location, they found a man had been shot after stepping outside the studio. The man in his 30s was taken to a hospital in stable condition and was shot in the abdomen." He's saying that this shooting was the one he's talking about. Little Rod says that he has people willing to corroborate his story. He also shows pictures of a bloody bathroom, as he described, and he still has the clothing that he was wearing that night, so he has proof that he was at this scene and he knows what happened. And little Rod talks about how he was living with Sean Combs in several of his houses. He lived with him in LA, New York, and Florida. And P. Diddy on many occasions would grab his butt or his anus. and try to make what he felt was groping sexual advances towards him. Also, Diddy would walk around the house naked in front of men and sometimes touch their genitals like as a joke, but it wasn't taken as a joke by him because he was like, I'm straight and Christian and I don't like that kind of joke. And the manager that worked with Sean Combs, KK, said, listen, buddy, this is just the way P. Diddy is and gotta take him how he is. He means it in a loving, nice way, happy way, friendship way, right? And then Sean Combs tries to coax Little Rod into becoming gay. So he shows him a producer that he respects greatly having a porn video with a white guy where he's having sex. And he says, see, even this producer, who's this big guy named Stevie J, is doing this. So you should participate. There's nothing to be afraid of. And he shows a screenshot allegedly from the video. And he also shows how successful this guy was. Not only does he produce this gentleman for P. Diddy, but he also went out with Nicki Minaj. Stevie J had a successful Vegas residency and appeared in a Super Bowl ad. So in other words, he can prove it. And it sounds like a very exciting Thanksgiving at P. Diddy's house in 2022. Because he's sexually assaulted by young Miami's cousin. Now, something to note before I tell you about her is that he denies the cocaine, and when the cousin tries to give him fellatio and have sex with him in front of P. Diddy and other people at P. Diddy's house, he pushes her away and he denies the cocaine. So again, I guess what the read between the lines is he didn't fall for the honey trap or the drug trap. So they didn't get anything on him, which it sounds like they were trying to do. Now, this is really important to news that just dropped, which is that you might have noticed a few headlines. Diddy's ex, Young Miami, accused of flying pink cocaine to the mogul in lawsuit add-on. So what's happened is more lawsuit amendments have come and more people are being called out. And so Diddy was going out with Young Miami, which is how she was around. And Young Miami's cousin was the one trying to force Little Rod to have sex with her or whatever. But it sounds like she was allegedly also a mule. This is what's just dropped. It dropped on March 28th. Okay. So what happened was he drops an addendum to his complaint. And in there, he tells another story. He says that this girl who was going out with P. Diddy was getting P. Diddy his favorite drug, which is 2CB or Tucci, and it's ecstasy and cocaine mixed together. And he wasn't able to get his usual drug dealer, whose name was Brendan Paul, to deliver his drugs. So he went with getting his girlfriend to be the mule and go get the pink cocaine for him. And so that's his allegation. Now, since we're bringing up Brendan Paul at this point, let me tell you who he is. So simultaneously with Little Rod dropping this addendum of information in his civil litigation case, officers arrest this guy named Brendan Paul same day. And what happens is they find drugs on him and they get two drug-related charges against this kid. And he is like a kid, which is kind of sad because he just pissed his life away because he's going to get a felony charge for possession of cocaine and marijuana candy. Anyway, this guy might have offered some information to the cops. Why were you bringing this stuff in? And potentially this guy, Brendan Paul, was saying it was for Diddy. But I still don't think this had to do with the raid. Although I think it might have speeded it up a little bit, I don't think it was the only thing. Anyway, Paul was released on a $2,500 bond Tuesday, and he has a hearing April 24th. Now, what this really did, you guys, is so important. Because Little Rod had brought this up in his complaint, he filed, I think I said, on February 27, 2024, and he named this gentleman, Brendan Paul, as his drug runner and his weapons runner. It gives credibility to Little Rod's allegations in his civil litigation because he is the first person to bring up Brendan Paul's name as Diddy's drug dealer and gum person. And then the guy gets arrested at Miami Airport and has drugs on him. So it's almost like, you know, that validates a lot of his litigation that he's put forth. And then he breaks out pictures from his phone of him, Mr. Jones, Little Rod, and Combs having Thanksgiving hangout sessions in his bedroom, not doing anything bad, just sitting next to each other talking. And then you see also pictures of the two women, Young Miami and her cousin. So trying to say I can prove at a minimum that I was with them on this day to try to corroborate my story. So then Little Rod goes on to talk about how he's witnessed sex trafficking and victims. And he says throughout his time with Mr. Combs, meaning Little Rod, he was transported from California to New York, Florida, and the United States Virgin Islands. During this time, Jones was forced to solicit sex workers and perform sex acts to the pleasure of Mr. Combs. So it's almost like he takes this guy and does exactly what he did with Cassandra Ventura, but with him. On and about February 4th, 2023, Mr. Combs forced Mr. Jones to bring prostitutes and sex workers back to his home in Miami, Florida. Then he says on February 2nd, 2023, he feels like he's been drugged by Combs. He wakes up and he's in bed. He's naked. There's two sex workers and Combs in bed with him and he doesn't know how he got there. Then he gets up. He's naked. He walks through the house and he's stumbling around all drugged out. So then we find out that P. Diddy has a sex worker bat signal. And what it is he has people wear the Bad Boy Records baseball hat and they wear it in this club called Booby Trap on the river. And it's a signal to the sex workers that Sean is in town and that he's looking for girls, basically. Then he shows some pictures of girls that are allegedly some sex workers from this place that he took back to the house, but we don't see P. Diddy in the photos. They're just two random girls in sexy outfits. Then he produces a screenshot of a phone number to a sex worker at Booby Trap Miami. And allegedly, this is one of the workers that he would often have come to his house and have sex with people at his property. And so he's saying, I can produce her, I guess, in court, or you could call her and validate my story. You might wonder at this point, well, how did P. Diddy keep this guy trapped in this situation? Much like Cassandra Ventura's lawsuit, he would dangle things that were really important to the people. For example, he promised a Grammy for Producer of the Year for the Love album. He offered him $250,000 to purchase all the instruments he wanted. He promised him ownership of his property, One Star Island in Miami, Florida. He promised access to record label executives like defendants Lucian, Charles Grange, and Ethiopia Habdramarian. But when that didn't really seem to get it across the line, Combs would get frustrated allegedly and threaten to eat his face or kill his mother. Then he talks about a big party that is a listening party that Diddy has at his house in California on July 2nd, 2023. He's having it for an R&B artist, and at this event are underage girls, teenagers. Little Rod was tasked at getting sex workers to come to this party, and he did this. And there were at least five women in the crowd at this party that were under the age of 16, he says that he knew somehow. He also alleges that women were made to drink laced De Leon liquor, and it was laced with ecstasy. Then he puts alleged pictures of Justin Combs with an underage female, Sean Combs with an underage female, some sex workers and underage females at the party. Then he produces pictures of Cuba Gooding Jr.
Show me the money.
Hugging him, kind of hanging all over him. And he said that he didn't want these advances. And Cuba Gooding Jr. was kind of too touchy-feely with him. And P. Diddy set this up to happen. He felt like almost he was being offered to Cuba Gooding Jr. Now, why this is interesting and where I can kind of validate a little of this story is that I ran into Cuba Gooding in Miami at a nightclub that everybody used to go to. It was a hot spot. It was around, I don't know, like by the W Hotel. I don't want to say the name of it, but it was a small place. It was one of the most popular clubs in Miami. You know, if you know, you know. And so I was in a VIP area, and this was back, oh gosh, I want to say maybe 2011 or 10. And Cuba Gooding Jr. was there, and he was obviously high off his ass on ecstasy. For the full scoop, join the Dishing Drama Dana Patreon. The link is in this audio description. It's only $6 a month, and you'll get the best information and tea about the things you care about, and even the things you don't know you care about. What are you waiting for?